Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tulsa pianist Baron Ryan has long been a popular musician and entertainer in our city. A versatile performer, he's been part of the piano duo Ryan and Ryan with his father, Don Ryan, and as a solo performer at home in sacred or secular music, playing light classics, ragtime, jazz, or popular idioms of music from R&B, gospel, to hip-hop. His recordings have featured jazz and ragtime-inspired concert music in his album Classical with Attitude, to an homage to jazz master artists in his more recent album, The Master's Apprentice. His latest recording features his own compositions that reflect a compositional style open to all musics, a classical art framework that incorporates funk, pop, country, and jazz, a multi-stream compositional form. His latest recording, first of its kind, features a dance suite inspired by the 18th century forms utilizing pop music, and his first piano sonata is titled Magic City. Chamber Music Tulsa has commissioned him to write a new chamber music piece in conjunction with the Tulsa Race Massacre Centennial. His piano trio, My Soul is Full of Troubles, will be premiered this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at the Greenwood Cultural Center, along with a second performance Friday at noon at St. John's Episcopal Church. You can learn more about the concerts at chambermusictulsa.org. And Baron Ryan is my guest today. Baron Ryan, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been an interesting time for you over the last year. You've been writing longer form music, two longer pieces for solo piano, and now that's part of your recording, first of its kind, and now a piano trio. My Soul is Full of Troubles.
Yes.
What has spurred this new longer form composition?
Well, one thing led to another. It started out with the sonata that's on my new record, First of Its Kind. And I wrote that sonata because I had a recital at the University of Tulsa that I needed new music for. When a pianist learns new music, when any performer learns new music, it takes a while. At least it takes a while for me, and probably for most musicians too, to learn something that's worth playing by yourself in public. It just needs to be complex and require some work. And so I wanted to learn something that I could play a lot and that would have a great story behind it. I didn't want to just pick a few things to put together. And so I wanted to continue the theme that I have of taking classical music that has other influence or kind of quasi-classical music, you could call it. And I couldn't find the next step. The next step I thought would be rock or pop or funk classical music beyond the Gershwin that I'd played before, beyond the jazz transcriptions that I'd made. But the problem was I couldn't find that music. And so I thought, well, I might as well write it myself. So the sonata came first. And then I thought, well, I'm going to need to accompany this to record for an album. So then my dance suite thing came. And it was from that recital that I was invited by Chamber Music Tulsa to write My Soul is Full of Troubles. It all comes from that one seed. And here we are almost 2 years later since that recital.
Yeah, you talked about the idea that you couldn't exactly find the sort of thing you wanted to find. What is that thing you're wanting to find? It's something that blends the classical music forms, if you will, I guess, with a sensibility that sort of reflects 21st century music in America, which is that we take from everything.
Right. Yes. And my tagline, my mantra, you could call it, is classic meets cool. It's taking what's traditional and what's trendy and mixing them in different ways. That's what I like. That's my aesthetic. And it works to bring classical listeners into the fold. And it also works to bring non-classical listeners in because they think, oh, well, I know, this sounds like a pop tune. I feel like I should know the words to this, even though I've never heard it before. And despite the fact that it may be thought out to be more in a classical form, they don't care. It just feels familiar. And then it may take them someplace that they didn't know it was going to go. And so to me, it marries two worlds together and then brings those two audiences together too.
Some people would say that is sort of a tricky line to negotiate, where a piece of composed music is a song versus, I'm going to use the term art music, for the classical canon, if
yes,
you will.
I like that term.
So that piece of art music, so what is the line, or is the line important to you?
I think that I feel it. I don't know where it is exactly, but I experiment until I find what feels right. I've been listening to and playing music for a long time, and that informs, and I've been listening to and playing all sorts of music for a long time. And so I can intuit where I want the line to be. But if you ask me to describe it, I may have difficulty putting into words where it is and how I find it, but I know it when I see it.
It's interesting when I'm listening to some of the movements from The Sweet Thing, which you'll be performing Thursday and Friday. At least part of the composition sounds very song element. You know, it's got a very catchy melody. It sounds like a song until at some point it maybe it's not so much a song.
You're right. Well, the first movement from Sweet Thing is called Out for Delivery, and it's supposed to be a pop rock tune. And you can hear verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, and then chorus. And so the form, even that's not a classical form of a song, really, even though it's within a classical work, a broader classical work. But the idea is that none of the verses sound the same. Even though there are no words, there are different things that I've done to create a different feel for each verse. There are rhythmic plays, there are harmonic substitutions, and then especially the last chorus gets pretty out there in terms of harmony. But because now it's the third time you've heard it, you can accept this weirdness that you might not hear in an actual pop tune, because it's now the third time you've heard it, and so the listener can withstand some innovation, some unpredictability.
You mentioned earlier that Chamber Music Tulsa approached you about doing a trio. Is this your first foray into writing for a larger ensemble than just, say, piano or piano duo?
I have done it a little bit before, but not with the idea that it would be publicly available. Just I've written for my own amusement or for a small
occasion.
Private, yes.
Yeah, an occasion.
A friend's wedding that I wrote for. But this is the first time that I've written for such an ensemble that I knew it was going to be performed in public and that the music would be published. And so, yes, this is somewhat new for me.
So what was your starting point? What was the starting point for this particular trio?
I took a long walk. That's the way a lot of starting points for my compositions go.
Well, that's better than starting in the shower.
Yeah. Well, they both serve the same purpose. You're just doing something by muscle memory, so your mind can wander. And I felt an opening credits, and this is not necessarily the way I composed the whole piece, but the way that it begins I felt was very cinematic, which is, and I've only remembered this over the last week or so, because I had realized it and then I had forgotten it. And so it feels cinema, it feels dark, it feels foreboding, and I wanted a melody that would evoke the emotion that I felt when I was reading the accounts and learning, revisiting.
So the commission was for the centennial commemoration?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the inspiration for the commission, at least.
Yes, yes.
How did you get in touch with what you wanted to express, given the fact that there is at least some sort of thematic material at its heart that needs to be expressed?
Mm-hmm. The first thing that I did was give myself freedom not to try to represent everything that happened and everyone's emotions, everyone's feelings with regard to what happened, which sounds obvious. It may sound obvious, but as an artist, you feel some responsibility to represent a full picture of what happened and how people receive it. But you also have to realize, and that can be too crushing a pressure to feel that everything is weighing on your shoulders. And so I thought, well, this is, and I still have to remind myself of this, I think this is just my perspective. And I wanted to evoke what I felt as I was learning about what happened. I already knew that the massacre happened, but I was rereading some and reading for the first time a lot as well. And so I wanted to just, I felt a sense of darkness for good reason that I wanted the piece to portray. And that's how it began. But then I like some sort of structure within a piece. So I didn't try to make it from morning to dusk, for instance, on May 31st. But I composed melodies that I thought would evoke that emotion and then put it within a structure that I felt comfortable working within. And so that's how it unfolded.
You said you went back and reread material. What new insights did you get about this event?
Well, I wanted to be sure to read firsthand accounts of what happened and not just secondhand and thirdhand of people going back. So I wanted as little filter as possible, even though there has to be a filter because it's still the filter of the person who's experienced it. So one book in particular for me, it was not called this. I have brought it here with me because it inspired the title, but it was just re-released, The Witness to the Race Massacre by Mary E. Jones Parrish. The re-release is called The Nation Must Awake. Originally, it was called The Events of the Tulsa Disaster.
Yeah, right.
And that's actually where the title of the piece came from, indirectly. She wrote about how she and her daughter went up to her bedroom and read through the Psalms. And she says that they prayed that God would give them the strength to stand through it all. And so the title of my piece comes from a psalm, which I don't know that they read in particular, but I think it captured the feeling that I wanted to express.
Yeah, my soul is full of troubles.
Yes, and that comes from Psalm 88. It's the darkest, many believe, of the lament psalms. It begins, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave.
So would you say this piece reflects the thinking of that psalm? It's somber music for the most part?
Or, it does.
Because when you're writing a trio, you also have to, at some point, you have to give folks a relief.
Yes, there has to be contrast. It can't just be 14 minutes of it could be a lot. So that's how it started. And then I wanted to react to that musically. So no, it's not always in the minor key or that. Sometimes it in the development of the piece, it sounds exultory. But I think that reflects our lives as well. Sometimes in the midst of despair, we feel serenity, even if it's brief. And so I wanted it to start that way. I wanted my piece to start in the main themes to reflect that. But then what happens after those themes, I wanted to make musical sense. So there is some relief and some more joyous or less heavy moments in the piece.
My guest today is Baron Ryan, pianist and composer. The premiere of his new trio, piano trio, will take place Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Greenwood Cultural Center. That's available for people to go to. And then the following day, Friday, June 4th at noon, he'll repeat the performance at St. John's Episcopal Church. That'll also be live streamed, I believe.
Yes.
And he also has a new recording out called First of Its Kind, which features his solo piano work, and this will be the premiere of the trio. Tell us about the group that will be performing on these concerts Thursday and Friday.
Yes, I'm playing with two members of the Talia String Quartet, who has worked with Chamber Music Tulsa before. Bruce Arell, who's the executive director there, asked if I had anybody in mind or if who I would want to work with. And I said, well, I work with my father mostly as a piano.
That's
duo pianist.
Don Ryan.
Yes. Yes. We have a piano duo, Ryan and Ryan. And so I'm not in the piano trio world. And so I said, I trust your judgment. So he contacted the first violinist and the cellist from that quartet.
Well, how did you go about learning? I mean, I'm sure you trained as a musician. You had to do exercises where you wrote for strings, wrote for brass, or have you ever?
Yes, a little bit.
But also, that's also sort of perfunctory in a lot of times in music school, especially when you're concentrating as a performer on a particular instrument.
Right. I took one orchestration course.
Right.
And I was a piano major. In fact, I didn't really think that I would be composing that much until I just composed this sonata, which we talked about a moment ago. And I only then did have opportunities arisen. And so I took one orchestration course in college. And yes, I think we spent a day on the string section or something like that. And I didn't write anything out of their ranges. You can look up that information easily.
Exactly.
But as a pianist, I can tell often when somebody has written for piano who doesn't play piano because they don't things don't quite make sense. They don't quite fit as you wish they would. And so I wanted to write, you want to be able to write idiosyncratically.
Right. There's things you can write where it's like, my fingers can't get here. That
right.
Way, you know, or it's very difficult to get there.
Yes. Or the voicing, it, you think, well, this is kind of dense voicing or what have you. Mm-hmm. So I have a sister. My eldest sister, Jillian, plays violin. So she was able to give me some feedback. And then my father, Donald, has written much more for other instruments. And so he was able to at least tell me if something was, and nothing's unfeasible. So I'm not too concerned about it, but that's how I informed my writing to make sure that I wasn't writing anything that was asinine.
Well, has this spurred a bug for you as far as composing?
Yes. Yeah. And especially the way that my compositions have been received. I think, this is, as an entrepreneur, not much less an artist, you want to think about how you can provide value maximally, what you can do that nobody else can, that your audience will really appreciate. And I never realized how much value would be my own work, my own compositions would have for an audience. And so, yes, I have my next project in the early stages, and it's involving composition, and it will hopefully set me up to do more composition and to learn more about writing for other ensembles in subsequent iterations of this sort of project too.
From the musical entrepreneur viewpoint, what do you consider one of your strengths? I mean, I look at you as somebody who can, you know, get around to just about any sort of genre, you know, whether it's a pop music genre, a gospel genre, it's jazz, it's, you know, funk, those sorts of things. Is that what you consider a strength? That musical chameleon sort of?
That's the word that I was thinking of. I think that is one of my biggest strengths, is to be able to fit in a style pretty easily. I've been listening to music for so long that most any American style, at least, I can fake reasonably well. I can't always improvise within it, but if I learn what notes I'm supposed to be playing, or if I practice it for a bit, then I can sound pretty convincing. And it's pretty unusual, I think, for a musician to have such a strong rhythmic sense to be able to play pop styles, and such a strong classical background to interpret Rachmaninoff or Bach or Beethoven, and to combine those styles together in my own compositions.
Mm. Well, we'll look forward to the trio. You'll be performing both the solo piano work, the trio, along with some other works. What else is on the program?
Yes, we'll be, so the program is called Mixed Blessings, and they're not mixed blessings in the way we usually hear of them, which is that something is largely unfavorable, but the way we use it, we think, okay, well, I can make something good out of
good,
this.
Good, a little bad. Yeah.
Right. This is more blessings that are made up of disparate parts. And so we start out with some Scott Joplin, which is European and African influence together. We play a piece by William Grant Still, which is also those same influences. We play another rag by William Bolcom, Graceful Ghost Rag, which I've played as a soloist, but this time I'll play it with violinist. And then I play my suite, which is it's classical and pop or calypso or blues or what have you. And then we end the program with My Soul is Full of Troubles. And so all the pieces have multiple influences in them, which is why they are mixed blessings.
So every one of these pieces has a variety. Now, I'm not familiar with the Pineapple Rag. I always think of Scott Joplin as just being straight ragtime. Is there mm-hmm. something unusual about that particular rag?
It was arranged by somebody else for piano trio. That's why.
Okay. You're going to be performing your suite thing, suite for there's short piano pieces.
Right.
Is this the first time you performed it in public, or have you already performed it in public?
I've performed it in public before.
Yeah.
It may be perhaps the first time I've performed it live in Tulsa, though, mm-hmm. because I wrote it about a year ago, and I haven't performed a concert live in person in Tulsa in that time. So that will be the first time that anybody could hear it in person here.
Yeah. Why don't we hear a piece from the suite? I know you have the last movement is really influenced by Calypso music and
yes.
and the West Indies music that mm-hmm. your father grew up in. You have a piece called Purdy Please, which is, I guess, the rhythmicness of the drumming of Bernard Purdy.
Yes, he has a groove called the Purdy Shuffle.
Uh-huh.
And I use the Purdy Shuffle to inspire that tune.
We're going to hear a portion of the third movement, and it's called If I Don't See You Again. And I understand there's a story involved with that.
Yes, it is inspired by the stories that we've all heard of patients being admitted into the hospital during COVID-19 for whatever reason, mm-hmm. but they weren't allowed to see visitors because of the pandemic. And so If I Don't See You Again is Know That I Love You, because they may be saying goodbye to loved ones and family members, and they don't know if they'll see them again, if they'll come out of the hospital too. That's bid them farewell.
That is a heavy message, and it's something we've all been thinking about over the last 18, 16 months, 17 yes. months. And we, you know, everyone has a story of somebody who was sent to the hospital, and that was the last we saw of them. So tell us a little bit about that piece before we hear it.
It's a country waltz in the style of Floyd Kramer.
Okay. We got the slip key going on.
Yes. Yes. I took it to a different level because he would play one slip key. So those are... It's supposed to emulate the sound of a pedal steel guitar or a
right,
fiddle,
right.
And I added two. So he would play just one half step, and I often played two half steps just to make it a little bit more challenging for the pianist. But actually, the reason that I did not come up with the story first, the tune came first, and then the story came after that. But my dad said, when I told my dad about the idea of writing an American dance suite, he said, "Oh, well, it will be difficult to get to find a tune, a style to play in 3/4, because most American styles are in 4/4, four beats per measure."
Right.
And I thought, well, what's in 3/4? Ah, a waltz, a country waltz. And so, and so that was the genesis for this tune.
All right, well, let's hear a music that will be performed this Thursday and Friday as a part of Baron Ryan's premiere of his new piano trio. My Soul is Full of Troubles. This is another piece he'll be performing of his. It's called The Sweet Thing. This is the third movement. My guest, Baron Ryan, will be performing this Thursday at 7 o'clock at Greenwood Cultural Center, and then the next day, Friday, June 4th, at St. John's Episcopal Church. And here's music from his Sweet Thing suite. That's music by my guest today, Baron Ryan, pianist and composer. He'll be premiering his new piano trio this Thursday and Friday, and this is from his Opus 2, The Sweet Thing, a suite for piano, and we heard If I Don't See You Again. Well, I know a lot of people are looking forward to being able to gather in a concert situation. You mentioned this is your first time playing in Tulsa for a year, but it's got to be one of the first times you've been playing for a large audience in a while.
Yes, it is. I've played a couple of concerts this spring, but most of my performing has been virtual for the last year, and I'm ready to leave that behind me as much as possible.
What is that like to perform virtually? And I mean, you can't get the same feeling, but you also have, usually you're looking at a big eye of a camera.
Right.
And that can be intimidating too.
Yes, especially not to have any of the feedback, the nonverbal cues of seeing what the audience is, how they're
responding. It's the collective breath of an audience. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference.
Yes, yes. It makes a huge difference. And even I performed in Georgia a couple months ago and in where was I? It was in Oklahoma. I can't remember that. It's escaping me right now. But everybody was wearing masks. And that's a different sort of difficulty because you can't see them smile if they're not laughing out loud. So it's been... This past year has been difficult for all of us in different ways. So I don't want to pretend like, like my difficulties are unique, but it has been a learning curve, and I'm excited about the prospect of being able to see people in person again.
So you'll have the premiere this weekend, this Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
What happens to the piece after that?
It will be, I will release
Will you look
it.
At be looking at maybe revising things based on the reception? And...
Yes, I will. Certainly there are individual notes that I've already revised in my own part. And we'll see what I feel compelled to do after that before releasing it to the public. Publishing it. At this point, I will probably just put it on my website. I publish everything that I write in public domain so that people can go and get it for
Why
themselves.
Why is that? I'd heard that, and That's so interesting for a composer to put things out in the public domain.
Well, I think there are three reasons that I do it. For one, I know what it's like to be up and coming as a musician and not feel like you're not able to use other people's music from the last 100 years. And so I wanted to offer other developing artists a chance to perform music that wasn't 100 years old without fearing repercussion for a copyright strike. I think it's a smart long-term strategy for me because it's free advertising anytime somebody uses my music, whether or not they acknowledge me or not. If it's used enough, that's how It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, became popular. Channels didn't have to pay for it, and so now it's many people's favorite movie, even though it lost money when it first came out.
Right.
And I also don't feel like it's mine to keep. I feel like this is music that I've discovered on my musical adventure. I've already put the work in, and when I perform live, I'll get that income, but I want this music. I want it to impact people's lives as much as possible. And if everyone has to ask me permission for that, then that ability is greatly hampered. And so I want to say, here, use this as you will, because I create music to make the world better, and I want it to do that.
All right. Well, we look forward to the performances Thursday and Friday. Baron, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Tulsa pianist and composer Baron Ryan speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. The premiere of his new piano trio, My Soul is Full of Troubles, will take place this Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Greenwood Cultural Center, with an additional performance Friday, June 4th at noon at St. John's Episcopal Church, sponsored by Chamber Music Tulsa. You can look at chambermusictulsa.org for more details, and there'll be a live stream of the Friday performance. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. More music by Baron Ryan takes us out. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher.